My name is Gerald Hankerson. I am the president of the Seattle King County NAACP branch, as well as I'm the president of the states of Alaska, Oregon, and Washington. And first, we'd like to welcome all of you to come in here to the NAACP to talk about an issue that we consider incredibly important. And from our perspective, we just want to let you know that we oppose SBAC. It is the position of the Seattle King County branch of the NAACP to come out against the Smarter Balance Assessments Test, commonly referred to SBAC. We are aware and know that our students of color are disproportionately underfunded and will disproportionately be labeled failing by the new SBAC test. For this reason, we view the opt-out movement as a vital component of the Black Lives Matter movement and other struggles for social justice in our region. Using standardized tests to label black people and immigrants in lesser while systematically underfunding their schools has a long and ugly history in our country. It is true we need accountability measures, as we all know, but that should start with politicians being accountable to fully funding education and ending the opportunity gap. I would like to introduce our education chair, Ms. Rita Green, and she will state to you the full intentions of what our position is on the reason why we oppose SBAC, and we're calling on all parents to opt out and opt out now. Rita. Yeah.
Hi, and I'm Rita Green. I'm the education chair for Seattle King County branch of NAACP, and I'm going to read the position that I put together for SBAC. And that is, it is the position of the Seattle King County branch of the NAACP to come out against the Smarter Balance Assessment, commonly referred to as SBAC. Seattle and Washington State public schools are not supplied with proper resources, and a lack of equity within our schools continue to exist. The state of Washington cannot hold teachers responsible for the outcome of student test results when these very students are attending schools in a state that ranks 47th out of 50 states in the nation when it comes to funding education. That is the third lowest in the U.S. Furthermore, Washington State cannot expect for the majority of students to perform well on an increased targeted performance assessment while the state continues to underfund education in direct violation of Washington State Supreme Court order. The cost tied to the test this year is approximately $200 million. If the state really wants students to achieve academic performance at higher levels, these dollars should be put in our classrooms and used for our children's academic achievement improvement instead of putting dollars in the pockets of test developers. We urge families to opt out of SBAC tests and to contact their local and state officials, advising them to abide by the Supreme Court decision, McCleary Act. Thank you.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for coming today. My name is Jesse Hagopian. I teach history at Garfield High School. I am the Black Student Union co-advisor at Garfield High School. I'm an editor for Rethinking Schools magazine, an associate editor for Rethinking Schools magazine. I'm the editor of the new book, More Than a Score, The New Uprising Against High-Stakes Testing. And, you know, Bill Gates spent hundreds of millions of dollars to rush through the most radical education change in U.S. history, the Common Core standards and the high-stakes standardized tests that came shrink-wrapped with those standards. And he's been roundly criticized by educators and parents and students across this nation. In fact, we're in the middle of the largest uprising against high-stakes standardized testing in the history of the United States. Some 60,000 parents in New York State alone opted their students out of the state tests. And we've seen thousands of parents across the country, thousands of students, the largest walkout in U.S. history of students against high-stakes testing happened earlier this year in Colorado. We saw nearly 1,000 students walk out of the Santa Fe schools against the new Common Core testing. And this movement is spreading all across the nation like wildfire. And many people believe that Bill Gates is using his fortune to undermine the democratic nature of the public schools and to impose his will that is not based on an experience with public schools onto our public schools, our students, and our teachers. But today, I actually want to congratulate Bill Gates and not focus on all of that negativity. I want to congratulate Bill Gates for taking a very bold step for authentic assessment justice, because Bill Gates and the school sent his students to a school, Lakeside. And at Lakeside, you might say they started the opt-out movement against smarter balance testing, because at Lakeside, they don't use the Common Core standards or the smarter balance testing. And so I want to congratulate Bill Gates for making a very wise decision to send his kids to a school that don't use smarter balance testing. And I think what's good enough for his kids is good enough for our kids in the Seattle public schools. Right. He knows what students really need is a nurturing classroom, small class sizes. He knows what's best for his kids is a classroom where the teacher gets to drive instruction based on their passion, not based on what's on an ABCD bubble test. He knows that the best way to educate children is to flood the school with resources, allow study abroad programs, wonderful campus, and enriched curriculum with all kinds of electives that we can no longer afford in the Seattle public schools. And we say, again, what's good enough for his kids is good enough for ours. So I want to let you know that SBAC testing in Seattle has been an unmitigated disaster. We have had reports across this city of absolute testing meltdown in building after building. You're going to hear today from some of the people who have experienced that firsthand. They've experienced the technological glitches that have wasted hours of instructional time. They've experienced their computer labs and their libraries shut down for weeks at a time, unable to be used for research. And they've experienced the human disaster of labeling kids failing and seen the impact that that has on children in crushing their spirits, turning them off to education. And you'll hear that, I think, in graphic detail. But I want to make one thing clear today. Teachers in the Seattle Public Schools are not against tests. In fact, teachers invented tests, and we rely on assessment to understand our students' thought process and help scaffold their understanding to the next level of their development in a given subject. And to that end, the teachers at Garfield High School have built a partnership with the New York Performance-Based Assessment Schools. And you're going to hear more about that partnership from a colleague of mine so you can really understand what authentic assessment means, what the leaders in research across the country will tell you about authentic assessment, and a little bit about the project that Garfield is undergoing to replace these tests with truly authentic measures, right? Things that get at critical thinking skills, because I think we have made a grave error in our society today. We are training our nation of youth to believe that wisdom is the ability to eliminate a wrong answer choice, rather than to think critically, to question, to be creative, to imagine, right, to collaborate, to identify a problem in your community and work together with someone else to solve it. That's what our schools should be about, not bubbling in A, B, C, or D. I want to say that these tests are invalid. The SBAC test is an invalid. That's a bold statement. How can I make that claim? It's not based on my own estimation. It's based on the Smarter Balance Consortium itself. The Smarter Balance Consortium has acknowledged in a memo that the test has not been proven to be externally valid. And yet our state rushed to implement this test all across the state Any rational educator would know that you do a sample size to get validity before you mandate that every single school roll out a test that could very likely be invalid. I also want to say that these tests are purposefully designed to punish our students. They're purposefully designed to deny our kids graduation, to label our schools failing. What do I mean by that? The Smarter Balance Consortium set a cut score that they proudly proclaim will fail 60 to 70% of our kids in the Seattle public schools. They call that accountability. I call that a political decision that was not made with any educators in mind. And when you can label schools failing, then you can shut them down. When you can label schools failing, you can open up charter schools. And I think the privatization movement needs to stop labeling our kids failing and listen to what educators say about authentic assessment. My very last comment is about Garfield High School. In a moment, you're going to hear from a teacher of conscience who is deeply troubled by these tests and is going to explain to you why it's against her conscience to administer these tests. And you should know that teachers at Garfield High School have been wrestling with what to do with the Smarter Balance test for some time. People know that in 2013, the staff of Garfield High School collectively refused to administer the MAP test, and we were flooded with thousands, literally thousands, of letters of support and emails of support and signatures of support on petitions. And then the movement spread across the country as other teachers in Chicago and New York refused to administer, as students walked out of tests in Portland and Chicago, and as in Rhode Island, students held Let's Make the Adults Take the Test event and said, if this is the measure of career and college ready, let's see if the professionals are ready. And the Rhode Island Student Union found that 60% of the doctors, lawyers, politicians that came to take this test failed, and in fact were not ready for their post. And so the action we took at Garfield High School helped inspire people across this nation in the movement for authentic assessment. And we knew that we had a responsibility to act again with this new flawed test being imposed on our public schools. And so we debated what to do. But then an amazing thing happened. You see, the students who staged sit-ins in their own classrooms during the MAP test, and the parents who flooded our class and our school with opt-out letters that year against the MAP test, are the very same parents and students who are being asked to take the 11th grade SBAC test. And so the decision for us as educators about whether to administer this test or not was taken out of our hands, because the parents spoke. And first dozens and then hundreds of opt-out letters have flooded Garfield High School, opting the students out of the 11th grade SBAC test. Yeah. Yeah. I'm proud to say at current count, we have 221 opt-out letters at Garfield High School officially. And what that means is that so many students in the 11th grade class are not taking the exam that they can't actually be led to the computer labs to take the exam by the teachers, because you can't have a lot of students who are not taking the exam sitting around the computer lab distracting. That's against the testing policy. So in fact, we no longer are being asked to administer the exam, and only the few students who did not get opt-out letters in will be pulled out of classes and taken down individually to administer the exam. And I call that a huge victory for authentic assessment in our city. And I'm proud to be with this panel of wonderful testifiers test resistors who are in the struggle for quality assessment. And so I would like to bring up Doug Edelstein. Doug is an award-winning teacher at Nathan Hale. He serves on the executive board of the Seattle Education Association. He's a member of the Social Equality Educators, a leader at Nathan Hale High School. And we know Nathan Hale was the school that kicked off this revolt against SBAC, and I'm proud to have him here speaking today. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. First thing I want to correct some mischaracterizations that have occurred in the press around Nathan Hale. Nathan Hale it's been characterized in the press as sort of a smackdown between Nathan Hale teachers and downtown administration as to whether the SBAC would be administered at our school. On March 6th, it was announced that Nathan Hale would administer the SBAC, but its teachers wouldn't, and that that the parents would be informed of their rights to in the situation. I'm proud to be at Nathan Hale. It's a great school. We do lots of authentic assessment. We do lots of exhibitions, high-stakes exhibitions. We do lots of shows. We do lots of testing. We do lots of assessment of our students in authentic ways. Our students are excellent at that. Our students, we anticipate, would be among the students most advantaged by the current SBAC tests. However, after due diligence, research, and doing our homework, the Nathan Hale Senate, which consists of parents, students, administrators, teachers, and these are teacher leaders who are department heads or team leaders, decided after reviewing the literature, after getting expert testimony, after looking at the program, the way it's being rolled out, after looking into the test itself, decided that the 11th grade SBAC test would be of no use to our students and would be a waste of their time, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. There are a number of specific considerations that took place, including pressure on infrastructure, the equity of the test, that is to say, is this a fair test? The answer that I think is a conclusion that anybody who looks at the test can draw is that it is not. And the question became, should we administer it? And I don't think Nathan Hale was interested in becoming the epicenter of an earthquake. I don't think that was it at all. We teach our students to become honorable, thinking, skillful citizens. That's our goal. And we try to model that behavior ourselves. So after doing our homework, we decided that the SBAC tests, as iterated in the 11th grade, should not be given at our school. So we decided not to. That is still the policy. However, to those who must have it, it will be administered. Because of the fact that it's a state law. I want to point out that even though this is in no way a situation comparable to the situation in Birmingham in 1963, state law takes second place in this case to matters of conscience and social justice. Dr. King, in his letter from the Birmingham jail, said that he teaches us that blind obedience to law is not as important as concerned and responsible citizens making decisions of conscience. Professionally and in terms of the equity of the situation, in terms of the justice or injustice of administering an inequitable test, and I don't speak for Nathan Hale, but the Senate decided not to reduce or not to offer this or not to administer this test and not to force its teachers to do so. In the meantime, I want to report that as of now, about almost 50% of our students in the 11th grade have opted out. And we've heard that number is growing. This is not because teachers have been urging them to do so. It's because Nathan Hale students are honorable, thinking, skillful citizens. And the thinking part of it, as critical thinkers, they evaluate what's best for them as well as we do and their families do. So as a human being, and I'm a member, I'm an adjunct instructor at Seattle University's Master's in Education School in social studies methods, I am a member of the teacher advisory group of the fastest growing Black History website in the country, which is blackpast.org. Thanks, Kintard Taylor. And I'm on the board of the SEA. I think that speaking for myself in those capacities and others, well, not speaking for those organizations, but having had that experience, that the 10th grade SBAC test offers as much hazard to our students and possible harm as the 11th grade. And this is the challenge that we face. The 10th graders will be taking this test very soon, and actually in May. And I'm concerned about the effects of those of that test on the welfare of those students.
Robin Schwartz is a Seattle native, a graduate of Garfield and UW alum. She is a preschool, an elementary school. She has a preschooler and an elementary school student at Concord International. She teaches preschool on Capitol Hill and is the treasurer of Concord's PTSA.
Hi, thank you. I became interested in the issue of testing and opting out recently. What attracted my attention about 6 weeks ago was the knowledge that my child's teachers were not allowed to discuss with me anything about testing besides the schedule. This was an immediate red flag for me, and I began researching and attending informational meetings. What I found was disheartening. Last week, I opted my child out of this year's testing for several reasons. I don't believe that the high-stakes standardized testing currently being administered are the result of responsible, informed decision-making. These tests and standards were decided upon by state legislators who don't know what's happening in the classroom, as opposed to educators who do. I have confidence in my child's teachers, and I trust them to teach, evaluate, and inform me of results through conferences and report cards. This is how my child and her teachers should be spending their time. I don't believe the tests are equitable. They are administered on computers. Not every child is computer literate. They are administered in English. Concord has a high population of English language learners, as do many South End schools. These children will be taking the test in English. The cut rate is around 60%. How many ELL kids will fall into that failing category because they are tested in a language in which they are not proficient? Finally, and most importantly, I don't believe this is an efficient use of my child's time. She's at school to learn. She has 6 hours a day to study all the normal subjects, half of them in Spanish at Concord, as well as to squeeze in a few minutes to eat lunch, play outside, and learn to make friends. When I dropped her off yesterday, one of her classmates asked if they would be allowed to go to the library to check out books, since they had missed it last week because the library was full of testers. The teacher replied, "No, you won't get to go this week either." That's the problem with testing in a nutshell. Children are asking to learn, but instead they're being tested. Yeah. There are 4 seats on the school board that will be open in the next election. I hope current and potential board members will listen to the growing chorus of parents who oppose high-stakes standardized testing.
This is Meg Richmond. She is a language arts teacher at Franklin High School.
I've had the displeasure of administering the test for the last 4 weeks. I just want to talk a little bit about how much time it's taking out of our instruction time. Because Franklin only has 2 sets of classes, language arts and history, that are grade specific, all the testing has to take place in my language arts class or in the history classes. So here's how it worked. We spent 2 days a few weeks ago with my 10th graders taking a practice test so they would understand how to use the program. So that was 2 days. Then we spent 2 days where we were supposed to be testing. However, the state, we got all logged on and we were trying to start the test, and for 2 days in a row, those were the first 2 days allotted to testing, the state failed to put up the test. So through a computer glitch, we had 2 more days that we wasted. Then we, for those of you who don't know, there are 2 different language arts kinds of tests. There's one that's a computer adaptive test, which means the computer sort of responds to their level and goes up or down depending on how they answer the questions. And there's a second test which is supposed to test where they write an essay, basically. So what happened with us is the state predicted that students would take two class periods for the first test, two class periods for the second test. Well, my students, after day two on the first test, not a single one of them had completed it. And they were about halfway through, which meant that for that test, they were going to have to be pulled out randomly from other classes throughout the following weeks, missing education in those classes as well. Then we did the computer test. The same thing happened. Two kids finished on time. And so the rest of the kids are being tested throughout the weeks, pulled up from their math class, pulled from their history class, pulled from wherever they can be pulled in order to finish the test. So that's the waste of time that's occurring. There are some other problems that I discovered through administering the test. Headaches from numerous children. I feel dumb. This test makes me feel dumb from numerous children. Here's a case of, I don't know if you guys know the demographics of Franklin. In my first period class, for instance, 85% of the students speak a language other than English at home. So I had one student, I'll call her N. N came into my class as a mainstream student just 2 months ago. She's from Vietnam, and she's only been in the country a bit. She's an excellent student, so excellent that after a few months in ELL classes, they sent her to a mainstream class. The way that she has been an excellent student in my class is that every day she goes home and spends several hours looking up the words that we're reading in our book so that she can keep up with the class. It takes her a couple hours every night. So she goes into the lab to take this test, and first day she's typing along, and then she looks up and she says, "Can I get a translator for this?" And we're like, "No, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to have one, and the only way you can use the only time you can use a Vietnamese English dictionary is on the essay. You can use one then." So she keeps going, and it's taking her hours and hours even to do this. And then finally, on the last day of the essay writing, it was 2:20, and they closed the lab, and it was her last chance. So even though it's a untimed test, supposedly, she had run out of the window where she could possibly work on this test. So she came down to my room Friday sobbing and sobbing and sobbing, "I don't want to fail the test, Ms. Richmond. I don't want to fail the test." Eyes streaming with tears. And this is a girl who wants to be a doctor. This is a girl who is so studious she would put the rest of us to shame. But she's worried about failing a test. The other thing, one last thing I want to say about just pure logistics is that one of the English language learner teachers at my school informed us that on the math section of the test, there is a glossary for non-English language learners or speakers. But unfortunately, it's a limited glossary. It has Ukrainian, and it has a few other languages. It has Vietnamese, I think. But it forgot the continent of Africa. And many of our students are from Somalia and from Ethiopia. And those languages are not represented in the glossary. So I just leave it at that.
I mean, those seem like severe civil rights violations that you described to me. And we need to talk about how to address that. I hope that her points were not lost on anybody here. If there's confusion about what it means that there wasn't a glossary in any of the African languages, our Somali kids, our Eritrean kids, our Ethiopian, none of that huge population gets access to the resources equitably. Heather Robeson is a teacher at Garfield High School. She teaches language arts. She's been a leader in our assessment committee there and an organizer with the annual Northwest Teaching for Social Justice Conference.
Hi. As Jesse mentioned, my name is Heather Robeson, or Robeson, and either one is fine. I wrote a letter of conscience to Superintendent Nyland and Washington State legislatures and any other applicable policymaker. And in this, I say that I am a National Board Certified Teacher with a master's degree in English and 2 years of doctoral level coursework in curriculum and instruction. I have 12 years of teaching experience, 10 working in public schools, and 2 at the university level. I am passionate in my work and have rigorous expectations for my students and myself. I currently teach at Garfield High School, where half of my day is spent with advanced placement students who represent some of the most privileged and highest performing children in our city. The other half of my day is spent with general education students, over a quarter of whom receive special education services. Across all sections, I have homeless students, students with restraining orders against abusers, students who read and write below grade level, students who currently read and write at a college level, and students who vacation in Europe every spring. From this vantage point, my conscience demands that I publicly and emphatically assert that high-stakes standardized tests like the SBA, used as graduation requirements and teacher evaluation tools, are detrimental to the meaningful education of all of my students. Administering such exams goes against my professional and moral judgment. For all of my students, these tests are a waste of time in which they are forced to be passive test takers rather than active knowledge creators. This year's proposed test took over 2 weeks of instructional time from classes. Superintendent Nyland's recent email stated, quote, "The amount of SBA testing time for each individual student is relatively small, about 8 hours, depending on grade level," end quote. What a drastically skewed perspective that sentence reveals. 8 hours is an enormous time investment for an unreliable and inappropriately used assessment, enough to push an entire unit from this year's curriculum. For my students who are victims of the opportunity gap, the SBA disproportionately hurts their identity as capable learners and instead reinforces an identity of failure. These exams can only ever show a limited sample of student ability, and the cultural bias inherent in any standardized assessment exacerbates the SBA's inability to reveal what my students truly know and can do. Even if the SBA were a more reliable, valid, and culturally responsive measure of student ability, the learning environment created around it devalues true intellectual curiosity, risk-taking, and critical thinking. For all of my students, high-stakes tests breed a reductive mindset of, will this be on the test? And myopic focus on points rather than learning. Yet students do crave authentic challenges, and on a gut level, they recognize the faults of a test-based system. When I first announced the upcoming SBA exams to my 11th graders, students shot their hands up and asked, "Can we opt out of this?" These are high-performing students who are the most likely to succeed on this test. Yet they were frustrated at the prospect of losing class time for this detached and inauthentic measure of their performance. We need high standards for our educational systems, and we must do more to prepare all of our students to be successful in a demanding and complex world. Exams like the SBA do not take us in that direction. My teaching practice and that of my peers ask students to do far more than these exams do. We crave authentic and challenging modes of assessment. Jesse mentioned the New York Performance Standards Consortium, which I have been lucky enough to be able to travel to New York and attend some of their conferences and trainings. And I ask policymakers to please consider the work of the New York Performance Standards Consortium, which has opted out of standardized tests since 1997, and instead built an assessment system developed, evaluated, and continually revised by actual educators. Instead of taking tests, students are given ownership of their own project-based learning, which includes evaluation by community professionals in the discipline. This group of schools has some of the highest rates of college admittance, with one of the lowest rates of college attrition. This success was achieved with a true range of students pulled from the economic and cultural diversity of New York City neighborhoods. Policymakers, in teaching and learning, there are no shortcuts. Exams like the SBA attempt to shortcut, streamline, and profitize the education system. This benefits test makers, but not students. The schools are a reflection of the social problems of the larger society. If we truly want to close the gaps and inequities in our social institutions, we must address issues of poverty and income inequality. That is a tall order, but the work of the consortium schools shows an alternative that can offer meaningful success for all students. At home, I have a 3-year-old son. He is an exuberant, boundary-pushing little boy who will enter kindergarten the fall of 2016. I feel such anxiety at the thought of subjecting him to a learning environment founded on tests like SBA. He is filled with joy and innate curiosity to learn and experiment, a joy that I seek to foster in my own students. I challenge you to go online and take the practice tests of the SBA. Compare that experience to the approach described of the New York, on the New York Consortium of Schools website. Which would you prefer for your own child? Finally, to the policymakers, please listen to me. Please recognize my expertise and consider my professional opinion. I work to challenge my students and myself with research-supported best practices for all students. Trust and consider the informed opinion of so many of my peers who ask to end high-stakes testing. On a daily basis, we see the damage testing wreaks on our efforts for authentic education and the disproportionate damage inflicted on our most vulnerable students. Thank you.
Great job.
I mean, what an honor to get to teach with Heather at Garfield. That was really powerful. And if you, members of the media here, have not gone to a performanceassessment.org, then you're missing a piece of what education should be about. Because this network of some 30 schools that Heather detailed in New York, they're all public schools. They're not charter schools. They're in New York City. They have more at-risk students and special needs students than the general population of the New York public schools, but they have a waiver and they don't give the standardized tests. So by the measure of the politicians, these schools should be at the very bottom of New York City public schools because they don't use the important accountability measures. But in fact, they're at the very top. They have the highest graduation rates, the most, as Heather pointed out, the most college attendance, and they stay in college longer than the rest of the schools because they teach critical thinking there, what's actually valued in, when you get to college. And you're going to be hearing a lot more about the New York performance schools because we are in partnership with them in developing those standards here. I got to move on and call Annabelle Quintero, who serves on the Seattle Council PTSA, not representing them, but representing herself. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. I'm here today to share insights and facts that are prohibiting our community, our children of color, and the majority of students in the nation and in the Seattle School District to exercise their civil right to be educated. Fact, from the curriculum and instruction Seattle School Board special meeting, CBAC test only gives a numerical score. Teachers cannot see growth of a student. CBAC is not aligned with scope. Fact, Washington State has not deemed the CBAC test is valid. The CBAC test is proctored via the internet, and parents that have opted their children out of using the internet are not being asked in writing if their children may take this test. Seattle is a technology hub, and we all know that everything we do on the internet is permanent and has a digital footprint that lasts forever and will follow our children. Currently, our teachers cannot express their concern over this test for being developmentally inappropriate for our children. In fact, they are being threatened to be disciplined or fired if they choose to not proctor the exam. We value our teachers. As parents, we look for them to provide professional assessments of our children and also freedom to have a dialogue. I am a member of the Parent Teacher Student Association, and right now, the three pillars of education cannot communicate honestly. This is not democracy. This environment that is being created by mandated laws will create an unhealthy environment where teachers will be pushed to increase test scores to keep their jobs and benefits, like we saw in Atlanta. And the high-stakes testing will also label our schools as failing failing. And Seattle may indeed end up like Chicago, with predominantly all the schools that teach children of color to be closed. No one can understand why the educational industry will be willing to accept 60% of our children to fail. We are in a capitalist country, and many times we forget what drives decisions. We currently have an educational system that is publicly subsidized, which I call a publicly subsidized private industry. And let me explain. So publicly subsidized by all taxpayers, meaning our taxes fund public education. Now, these private corporations offer assessment tools like CBAC, so our publicly funded public school districts pay dollars for these tools, which has been the case for a long time. So what's new? That the private sector has funded and shaped our public policy on education, like, for example, the Council of Chief State School Officers, and they are funded by private corporations. Usually a private company has to market their products and earn their business. Now they have legally made every child in this state and in this nation a customer. With their lobbying power, they have written state and federal mandating their assessments and curriculums, despite public outcry. They don't have to listen to parents, teachers, or students' concerns. They willingly fail 51% of children across the nation and in Seattle, 60% of the entire student body, and gladly take instructional time away from our children because the opportunity gap is not a priority for them. Our children are just a numerical test score. It is unprecedented in education to have the private sector mandate their customer base, our children. And now our public officers and public educators are mandated to proctor the CBAC exam. Teachers may be disciplined or worse, fired, and are not able to discuss their concerns with parents because of these laws. The public has no voice. We have limited funds in education. Washington State OSPI needs $4.5 billion, and our House of Representatives are fighting our senators for $1.8, which is less than half. But still, private money flows for the CBAC test, knowing that 60% will fail. Our economics is inequitable, and there is not an equitable policy for students of color, for special ed students, for our poor children, for English language learners, and for children who have not been trained to use technology and computers due to these state laws, which is why state and education, we have a publicly subsidized private industry. These private dollars flow and mandate that our children perform product development by validating the CBAC exam for them. That is why I'm here today. This is about our children's civil rights to education, which is not happening. This is about the private sector mandating that our children get on these computers, silence the teachers, take time away from real learning, real instructional time, furthering the opportunity gap, so that the data from these tests can be used to validate their test and continue to use our children as child labor to develop their products and line their pockets. That is why we are here today, because we know our children are not learning. We know there is a huge opportunity gap, and every day they lose their love of learning. Before, we fought Jim Crow, and now we have a new set of laws that perpetuate the same results, an opportunity gap. But this is not just a problem for children of color. Now we are fighting for democracy in education, for a voice. We have publicly elected officials afraid because of the law, and we are fighting for the human rights of our children. I invite Mayor Ed Murray, the Seattle City Council, the Washington House of Representatives, and Washington Senators to work with the federal Congress to stop making our children work on developing products for private companies by using them for data mining. We are asking leaders to have courage and stand up against a marketing brand that campaigns for standardization called Smarter Balance. There is nothing smart about losing a democracy and tearing apart the honest dialogue among parents, teachers, and students. And there is nothing balanced about failing 60% of our children. Thank you.
Before I call our next speaker, I want to alert you to something that's in the press packet. If you don't have one, you should grab it on the table there. There's a statement written by a teacher who was worried about the repercussions of giving her name or her school because of the threats that have been issued by the school district. So she wrote up what happened in her school anonymously. But you should know what happened. And she also thinks that this has happened at several schools. She said, and I'm taking a quote from the text. She said, "I was so proud of my students for working through the test and trying their hardest despite the challenges. We were all glad when the long week of testing was over and we could get back to learning. We later learned that the directions we received from the district about how to access the test and what the test was called were incorrect. We were told that this was not an isolated incident, but had occurred at several schools. The look on my students' faces when I told them we had to do the test again was heartbreaking. Due to the challenges students have had navigating the testing interface, I question the developmentally appropriateness and the equity of this test due to the many issues we've seen with the rollout this year. I question the validity of this test to evaluate our schools, our teachers, and our students." If this has happened at one school, it's a scandal. If it's happened at multiple schools where they took the entire test, wasted a week of education, and then turns out they were given the wrong login code and have to go back and do the test all over again, those scores are not only invalid and unreliable, they have really destroyed that kid's year of education, taking 2 weeks away from the curriculum. And that's a scandal that I think the press should investigate and find out which schools are this has happened at, and ask the district what they're going to do about this. And I think it's a real testament to the fact that this test was rolled out, it was rushed without the proper IT support, the proper technology, as many of us in this room alluded to before the testing. I'm really happy now to bring up a leader in the Seattle opt-out group. It's a new group of parents here in Seattle, and their Facebook page is growing. And I'm really excited that they were actually able to use that Facebook page to gather information about how many people opted out in this test, or how many schools joined this movement for authentic assessment and are opting their students out. So Carolyn, I'm losing your last name on here. Leith. Carolyn Leith is a parent in the Seattle Public Schools, a leader in the Seattle opt-out group, has opted her own children out of these tests.
It's L-E-I-T-H. So, like Jesse said, my name is Carolyn Leith, and I'm a member of the Seattle opt-out group. I'm also a parent of a third grader at Olympic View Elementary. Already, third graders at Olympic View have spent 6 hours of class time taking the English language arts portion of the SBAC. When testing season is over, third graders at Olympic View will have spent a total of 12 hours taking tests, 6 hours for the ELA portion and 6 hours for the math assessment. I find it deeply disturbing that the Smarter Balance Consortium feels it's developmentally appropriate for 8- and 9-year-olds to spend 12 hours testing. At Olympic View, we work very hard to create a loving and caring school community. Given our school's values, I'm very worried that the SBA test will discourage our community's most vulnerable learners. According to a report by the Smarter Balance Consortium, only 15.8% of third graders with IEPs will pass the ELA portion of this test. For English language learners, the pass rate is 13.6%. Overall, only 38% of third graders will pass this test. Because of these reasons, I have opted both my children out of the SBAC. I can't, in good conscience, allow my children to participate in a flawed assessment, which will unfairly label students and schools. I'm not alone in this decision. Parent leaders across the city are opting their students out of this test. We have staff, counselors, librarians, and teachers who have opted their own children out. More than 100 students have opted out at Ingram High School. More than 50 students have opted out of Topps K-8 and Pathfinder Elementary. This year, we are actively witnessing more opt-outs of standardized testing than in any other point in the history of the Seattle Public School District. These are conservative numbers, just from those parents who have stepped up and shared their stories with us. And we strongly suspect that there are many, many more stories. After the test ends, the school district will have more exact numbers, which can be requested by the public, and I suggest we do that. This is an unprecedented event happening just before the school board elections, which I would like to remind everyone will happen this fall. Four seats will be vacant on the school board. Savvy candidates would do well to recognize Seattle's growing opt-out movement. Parents, know your rights. Become informed. Advocate for your children and everyone else's child. And please vote. Thank you.
Excellent. We are going to be joined next by Cecilia McCormick from the Seattle Council PTSA, not speaking on behalf of them, but speaking on her own behalf. And she is the Special Education Area Director. Thank you.
I just wanted to say a few words. When you drill down into the details of the SBAC pilot results, 90% of students with disabilities and ELL students will fail this test. Yesterday, I attended the school board curriculum and instruction committee meeting. And I'll just say that I am appalled that the majority of directors on the school board refuse to open an authentic conversation about whether our kids should be subjected to this test. Students with disabilities have poor fine motor skills, controlling a mouse, that many are dyslexic, and looking at a screen with pop-up windows and you know, letters flashing by you. Many students have dyscalculia, math learning disorder, and they will not get any accommodations, so they will fail. It's incumbent upon parents and the brave teachers to open up this discussion about this test, because our school board will not. Thank you.
So I'm pleased to introduce Dora Taylor, who is the president of Parents Across America, the national organization, and she runs the blog Seattle Education 2010, one of the best resources in the city for understanding the public education debate. And she's also working with the Seattle Opt-Out Committee. So thank you, Dora, if you could. And then we'll open it up to questions after Dora speaks.
Okay. Jesse asked me to talk about the history of Common Core standards in the SBAC, and this will be very brief. It's basically six sentences. For any kind of backup you need, any kind of reference material, you can either go to parentsacrossamerica.org or to seattleeducation2010.wordpress.com for any additional information and links. Okay, first of all, the Common Core Standards was created by private entities and paid for by Bill Gates. Number two, the U.S. Constitution does not allow the federal government to mandate a national curriculum, so others took it upon themselves to create a national curriculum with the blessing of the United States Department of Education. The names of the two private entities have names that sound like government agencies, but they are not. These two entities have been used to push Common Core standards throughout our states. These two entities are the National Governors Association and the Council for Chief State School Officers. These are private entities. There's nothing public about them at all. In fact, there's nothing public about the entire process that was used to create the Common Core standards. Number four, the Common Core standards were not written by educators in our state or for our state. They call them the Common Core State Standards because they want you to think that they were created by educators in our state for students in our state. That is false. Number five, the test has not been calibrated or tested for external validity, and that is happening right now by using our students. They are being used to produce or refine a product. Number six, and yet, even though this the SBAC has not been calibrated or tested, it is being used to determine graduation, funding of schools, funding of public health programs for children, and possibly teacher evaluations, if some of our state legislators have anything to do with it. Parents Across America Seattle, which also includes several other chapters in our state, has taken the position that Washington State should pull out of the Common Core standards and use a more authentic and equitable approach to education. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody, for coming today at the beginning of a new movement against smarter balanced testing.